Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Welcome as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.
Good day and welcome to a very special edition of Let's Talk Business with the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industries. My name is Tahir Bulbulia and I am your host for this program, as you know already. And this discussion today is part two of digital transformation for traditional businesses, workforce readiness, technology, adoption and growth. Last week, we had a very riveting conversation with Mr. Iman Shihi of Cloud Carib Limited and Dennis Augustine of DX Alliance. And we spoke on many things. We've delved into what digital transformation is, what's needed for its transformation, and what businesses can do and implement to make these systems more efficient and effective for growth in this 2025 world. So we're going to continue this conversation today, and we still have Mr. Iman and Dennis alongside me. So we're going to jump straight into the conversation, and I'm going to start with Dennis. You know, the workforce challenges in 2025 have been growing significantly, and you're responsible for growing people and developing people and people's skills. Yes. From your perspective, why do employees resist digital transformation and that shift? Because obviously, naturally, there is that mindset around when the digital age comes in and when technology is built in, my job may be on the line. How can we dispel this, and where does this resistance or this reluctance come from?
Well, I think the my job on the line is something that has been left over from automation, industrialization, and so forth. And we do see legitimate threats to unskilled labor in particular. I should reverse that. I should say that in fact, the threats tend to be on the white collar jobs that are, you know, folks like Iman and myself are more replaceable than the janitors today. So, you know, that we are seeing things like, you know, generative AI displacing jobs, will continue to displace jobs. So there is I believe, a legitimate resistance to the latest iteration. Having said that, I think the resistance to transformation prior to ChatGPT has been not less about the displacement of jobs, as in a failure for those who are driving transformation to help people to understand what's in it for them. And also this failure to connect the dots. We often jump from problem right to platform, and then somebody who's in the executive suite drops a solution on the team and says, here, this is the new solution we're going to use, and it's going to make everything great. And it ends up to be a disaster because we skipped steps between problem and platform. We really need to start to engage with people, the purposes they're trying to achieve, the problems that stand between them and that purpose, the processes that work today. And you don't want to, again, digitize a bad process. So we're often making some of these mistakes, and that leads typically to bad outcomes. And then people are wondering, why do I need to take on the additional workload to learn this thing when the last thing you foisted on our team failed? And so I think we need to take a more 5 P's oriented approach that starts with the people and addresses purpose and problems and before we skip right to platform.
Thank you for that, Dennis. And I'm going to jump to Iman. Now, from your perspective, how can businesses better train and equip their staff with digital skills?
Well, of course, it depends on the organization. So one of the things you got to start with is when you're digitizing, what's the purpose? How does it fit with the goal of the organization? How does it fit with the objectives of the organization? Because, you know, and this is nothing new. In any time computers were brought in from the 1980s, it was always the same thing. What's the purpose? What's the function? So first of all, you have to focus on what's the goal of the organization and what are the objectives of deploying solutions, and then you deploy those solutions. And depending on the solutions you deploy will depend on who you impact in the organization. And once you have identified why you need to use these tools, what the outcome is going to be, then you can focus on the training, and then you can focus on the people that need to be trained. And then following on from what Dennis had said, I think internal communication is critical. Why do you have to be trained? What's the, are you upskilling the people? And then I think in most cases, that should be a, an objective of companies is to upskill the people so that it reduces resistance. Some people might be, might still, resist the change because that's always a problem. But I think defining, first of all, why you're automating, what tools you want to use, and then identify who would be the people using those tools and provide the appropriate training on those tools. It's not a, it should not be a scattergun approach where you say, oh, we're deploying tools. What tools? Why are you deploying them? They have a cost and they have a return on investment. And that's the starting point for any of these things.
The World Economic Forum's report for 2025 on the state of the job market, they say that the trends that will drive business transformation from 2025 to 2030 will be broadening digital access. 60% of the employees that they surveyed said that broadening digital access was critical for transformation of businesses. Dennis, what does this mean for small island developing states?
Well, I mean, we still are sorting out the ubiquity of access. We still do have some fundamental work to do, but we are most certainly, I think the majority of us here in Barbados have access to the internet in one way or another. We at least have a smartphone, if not, a laptop or something like that. That's a little bit more of a challenge for many, but a smartphone is something that we see in many hands today. So, that is a challenge we're slowly starting to address. I believe that access to devices like laptops and so forth, but that's going to come with some economic development as well, because that comes with costs. So potentially we'll need to do a little bit better at the younger levels in particular to make sure that students have the sorts of tools that they need so that they can be fully ingrained in the new digital culture. I think that's one of the priorities for Barbados on the ground level. With regards to kind of a little bit further up the line with older folks and with organizations, small business, I think we really need to underscore, again, what are the benefits and really sell it to them. That communication, that marketing thing has not been, I don't think we're really drawing the dots between where folks are and the opportunities ahead, but even more so the risks. And I think because we've been at this stage for so long, and I don't think that 2025 is like 2024. I think that it's very different, and I think that we need to start moving quickly. So I think we really do need to do it as well, a bigger job at pointing out the threats and the risks of not digitizing at this point in order to move things a little bit forward.
I would encourage everyone to read this report because I have it right in front of me. And I referenced it a few weeks back on another program it was hosting. So I thought it would be very important that we make this connection so that the people on the ground can understand what's going on. And Iman, I'm sure you know this data already. So they say in this report, the fastest growing jobs by net worth between 2025 and 2030, the top three are, and you'll love this, big data specialists, fintech engineers, AI and machine learning specialists. So we see where the world has already gone. So as Dennis said, unfortunately, small island developing states, we're still behind the eight ball. We're still trying to find that ubiquity, as he mentioned. How can we bridge this gap, whether from a financing standpoint, from an educational standpoint, or from just a social standpoint, Iman, from where you sit?
Well, just before I answer that, the first thing I would say, the top three that you named, probably the top one, the data analytics might already be passed now, because that's something that AI can do very efficiently and very quickly. So, these things are constantly changing. So even to the point of, software engineers, now in the near future, you won't necessarily need software engineers because AI is able to generate all the code for you and stuff like this. So this thing is really changing at a rapid pace. Now, one of the ways for the region to improve and get on board with this, of course, I think is education, and where you start with education and having access to the tools that allow you to get on this digital transformation path and to use these cutting edge tools. One of the things that the company I work for, CloudCab, we're doing is we are planning to place AI infrastructure in the region Because right now, when you get AI infrastructure, it's predominantly in the United States of America. You're using online tools from Microsoft and Amazon and Google and people like this. And this is actually a risk. And I think we can see the geopolitical situation in the last week or so when we have some kind of threats to government officials in the Caribbean if they pursue working with Cuba on doctors and nurses being sanctioned. When the next step for that could be the sanction of a country. So we have to de-risk from this, which means we have to deploy these resources and spend the money to put these resources in the region to protect the region. And there's a whole holistic approach to this that can be discussed. It's a whole other, I would say, program from data center to application development. And I think that's something else that needs to be addressed. We need to be more self-reliant. But the education system has to change. And I do note that we have a new minister, Minister Blackman, who is now tasked with educational transformation. And this may present an opportunity in Barbados to start to see how we can leverage these tools from entities like ourselves, Cloud Carib, who have infrastructure already in Barbados and will work with governments and will work with other private sector entities like DX Alliance to build up the skill set. And I think also BCCI has a role to play in this. BCCI has a technology committee, and we should look at how BCCI can assist SMEs and work with UWI and Codex and things like this to bring interns in, young people who are developing applications, bring them in and use these resources to build out an ecosystem to support SMEs in a sovereign way. So I think that's something that we should address, and we should actually implement it. From our side, we're in the process of doing some of this at the moment for the region.
Well, I as a member of the Digital Societies Committee of the BCCI, I want to tell Iman to stop reading our minds, because this is exactly some of the things that we're prioritizing in 2025 is.
And it's perhaps services. That may be AI. That may be AI, for him reading your mind.
Oh, my goodness. I have a comment to make on the AI front. But I mean, we are doing some stuff at the BCCI with our incoming co-chairs that we're going to see some services, in particular to our MSME members that are going to be very helpful towards driving that digital progress. But if I can talk right now to... if I dare, as somebody who's an aspiring Bayesian, to talk to my future, I have a national ID, I'm a countryman, I think. But there's something that I have observed over the last few years that I have been here. It's really sexy to talk about AI. It's sexy to talk about big data. And I have been at it, and I won't name the names of the folks, but I think you can identify the pattern of behavior. I've been at many events sponsored by NGOs and governments and this government as well, where we've talked about creating digital twins of things and AI and generative AI and all of these things. But I also happen to have spent some time with ministries within this government, helping certain directors provide estimates for basic things like digitization of forms, where they are not getting the budgets to do the digitization of forms, basic form collection. If you are not funding, and I know it's not sexy, but if you're not funding basic data collection, what are you doing talking about you know, embassies in the Web3 or digital twins or anything else? And so I really just want to say that we have had an addiction, and it's a pathological addiction to talk shops in this country and around this region, and it needs to stop. You can hear the frustration in my voice. It needs to stop now in 2025 so that we can give our bureaucrats who are begging for basic funding to do some basic stuff, the money that they need before we go spending hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars on things that are just performative in nature, that we're aspiring to certain things. We love to put on a show. We love to put on an event. But we need to start funding some of the basic things and empowering the bureaucrats to make that basic progress. You've been down to get your things renewed at the licensing office to pay your taxes. And I keep hearing a lot of stuff about how that will change soon. I've been here for nearly 3 years, and that kind of progress should have happened long ago. So we need to get moving on it yesterday.
Dennis,
I would like to follow up.
Go ahead.
Like to follow on from what Dennis said, and I fully agree. And I was thinking about, you know, all the talk about AI, and it's the latest buzzword, and everybody's talking about it, and not just in Barbados, everywhere, everybody talking about it. But if you ask people then, well, okay, so what's the function of it? How are you going to use it? What people don't know, they just think it's like the magic bullet. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, metaverse was the in thing, and everybody was talking about metaverse. Where has that actually gone in the last 4 or 5 years? It's still used in gaming and stuff like this, but where else has it gone? So we have to be clear. These are technologies, and the adage is always, you know, what is the purpose? What is the function? What is the goal? And apply the appropriate technology. So just in AI, we internally in CloudCard, we use AI for a specific use case. We have already started discussing with some government ministries about their specific use cases, but we're looking at their pain points and applying an appropriate solution, which includes AI, but also includes some other tools. Because I know, you know, for big data, or even for SMEs talking about, you know, their data, how to leverage their data, most SMEs use something like QuickBooks, for example. And QuickBooks has plenty of tools that I'm sure people aren't even getting close to using for their analytics. They don't need AI. So we have to get off this bandwagon of it's the latest thing, because in a year's time, it'll be something else and we'll be jumping on that bandwagon. Why do we need to use it? What's the function of it? How is it going to improve our business? These are the questions we need to ask before we start talking about the technology.
Guys, I hear you loud and clear. And this is a significant challenge we have in the Caribbean, not just Barbados. And I hear your frustration, Dennis, and I'm trying to frame this question very, very, very smartly. How can we build more sustainable systems in the Caribbean where we can remain ahead of the game, where we don't always have to be playing catch up? As we've been having this conversation, Dennis, I would love to open the can of worms for this conversation.
I can tell you, dear, that for me, it is really simple. Some of the things that I'm talking about are things that folks that will be listening to this in the barcode WhatsApp chat, some developers around this region can solve and could have solved years ago, if only we had engaged with them. And that's the problem, that we really are not. We hear a lot of talk about collaboration. I, as a member of the private sector, and you heard my frustration, but my journey here has been one of inspiration and frustration. I am inspired at the things that we could achieve relatively quickly. If we, especially if we're talking about the government, which is the largest, one of the largest employers, one of the largest parts of our GDP here, if we were to engage with the private sector in a meaningful way and cut down some of these silos and opaque procurement processes, if we were to actually mean the things that we said about collaboration, I've been here for, and again, I don't want it to be sour grapes, but you know, I've spent 27 years in Canada working in the digital space, creating solutions at the top level of the field. I've heard things saying, come here to contribute to the region. But I will tell you that it is impenetrable, even offering free help, it's impenetrable to be able to offer help to some of the people who are saying that we want collaboration. I would say that the simplest thing that we can do is to put some walk in the talk and to start to collaborate with people in the private sector and the developers who are ready here who can address these problems. We've had organizations like GovTech that were mandated years ago. And we have developers here by the hundreds who could have created solutions by now with proper leadership. So I challenge anybody to give me a reason for why that should not change today.
And I could say, following on from what Dennis has said, one of the ethos of CloudCarib has always been sovereignty, digital sovereignty, data sovereignty. And one of the things that we are now addressing, because we're primarily infrastructure and cybersecurity company, but we are starting now to address solutions and to engage with local software developers and entrepreneurs in Barbados. I've had some meetings with at least 2 to 3 companies recently to try to build a partnership with them and to promote their solutions across the region, and not necessarily solutions from very large multinational companies. Because one of the ways, if we keep talking about, you know, another sector of industry in the region, which is, you know, innovation, ICT, then we have to put the money where the mouth is. We have to invest in these people. We have to decide on choosing solutions and choosing entrepreneurs and choosing those who have invested in the country and in the region. Otherwise, all your this money goes straight out to some account in USA, UK, wherever that might be. So we have to look more strategically on if we are serious about building an ecosystem and an industrial sector to offset any potential losses in tourism, et cetera, then we have to invest in the solutions and in the region itself. And I'll give you one simple example of that, of what I think is quite a useful thing to do. The Bermuda government issue, you know, tenders for ICT stuff. And they, in most of their tenders, they have 30% of the marks allocated to what investment you have made in Bermuda to build capacity and to build sustainability. So we should be looking at these kinds of things as well, to invest in those entities who are already investing and providing employment, et cetera, within the region and within the countries. So we need to realign ourselves on these issues and decide, are we serious or not serious about building out an ecosystem for innovation and ICT as an industrial sector in this region?
Well, and I'm sure those in the public sector who are listening will want to educate both Iman and myself that procurement is complex, and it is in yes. the public sector. And there are donors who have requirements that mean that some of the stuff that they're funding literally has to flow outside of this region. That is a fact that we're both well aware of. Yeah. But there are things that we can do to tweak the procurement mechanisms to encourage the kind of capacity building that Iman is talking about. Right now, we have a perpetually leaky bucket when it comes to digital investments here. We pour money into it. That money goes directly out to another jurisdiction. Those people sometimes hiring our own people, but it is those other companies, those other jurisdictions that make the money while we're the ones spending it. We need to stop being just the consumers and the means of production and start to build that capacity here by changing procurement methods.
This is certainly a insightful conversation, an educational conversation most definitely. And I think this is where we wanted to go in that first conversation, but we really needed this second one to get there. So I really do appreciate it. And just a reminder, this is Let's Talk Business, brought to you by the Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industries. My name is Tahir Bulbuli, and I have Mr. Dennis Augustine alongside me and Mr. Iman Sheehy, who is from Cloud Carib. DX Alliance is where Dennis Augustine is from. Iman, you touched on an important point there. Out of the many important points you touched on, tourism. Naturally, tourism is our main source of income in the region. And many persons say we need to diversify our economy, but I believe we need to diversify our tourism product. And how can companies and businesses implement digitization, innovation, AI to complement and to enhance the tourism product?
Well, I'm not a tourism expert. I got to say that straight away. I think maybe Dennis there can maybe
I do.
Some answer
I got, that. I've got a great answer for that.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
again, Tahir, I mean, this, I think, is a point in case when it comes to breaking down these silos. So here at the DX Alliance, here we are sitting in Barbados, and we are currently engaged in a destination and tourism marketing development and integration project with a town in Calgary, Alberta. And I know that, so here we are in the Caribbean servicing a Canadian town, a Canadian region, this is a ski region, for their ski product. And yet here, we are not able to draw a direct line between spend and marketing to heads and beds on the Barbados product here. So note the chain here. Local talent solving that issue for a Canadian company while we're not doing the same thing for ourselves right here using the same talent that is currently available. So I think that is one of the things that we can start to do is to start to digitize the tourism product and then to export that, because that is one of digital solutions for tourism, destination marketing and management is one area that the Caribbean can sell to the rest of the world with verifiable bona fides. Tourism is something that we know quite well. We also have great minds here. We can develop and export digital products related to tourism marketing and management. And that's one of the things that we're doing right now at the DX Alliance. And if anybody at any tourism agencies throughout the region wants to give us a shout out, we'll be happy to help you as well.
I know we can definitely continue this conversation for many more programs, but I think we've delved into the most critical areas of digital transformation, and the conversation has really flowed and expanded into ways and avenues and gaps we didn't even expect it to go. But we're coming to the end of the program. So Iman, I really would love to hear your closing remarks, and perhaps where would you like to see the industry? If we can put on our shades and go to sleep and just dream of where the industry perhaps can be in 10 years, where would that be? And then it's the same question for you as well.
Okay, so I'll give a shameless plug here for a webinar coming up next week with the byline about digital colonialism and discussing how we can avoid that. Dennis is the moderator on that, and I'll be on the panel as well. So if anybody wants to go to LinkedIn, they can register from there. So what I would say is, I would say we have an ecosystem in the region, starting from, we have the Data Center Alliance implementing internet exchange infrastructure in all the countries so that information remains in jurisdiction and there's no latency, and then connecting these to other countries in the region, building out a cloud infrastructure that is independent within the region, and a cybersecurity infrastructure that's independent in the region, providing, which we are in the process of planning to do as CloudCarib, sandboxes for small companies and innovators who need to scale up their ideas to a market-ready potential. So we're in the process of doing that. So just building out an entire ecosystem where people know, I have an idea, I can work on that idea, I have the support of entities like BCCI on how to market the product, how to run a business, for example, things like this, that's not just purely, I'm developing an application, you've also got to make it marketable and profitable and commercialize it. So there's a whole set of things that we can do, and we have the general skill set in the region. It's about harnessing that skill set and saying, okay, let's say, well, we have up north, you know, the America first approach. Maybe we need to adopt the Caribbean first approach to build out this environment, because all the pieces are there. We just have to bring them together and then say we're going to support them and actually support them by, you know, commercializing all of these products and services that will be developed. That's what I would say.
And I know we have to wrap up quickly. I will say as well that every moment of chaos is also a moment of opportunity. Us here at the Alliance, I know that the developers who are part of the Barcode chat, we want to give a shout out both to Mark Boyce, CEO of GovTech, the Senator Reid, newly appointed Miss Minister. We need you to succeed, and we are here to support you, all of us together. So we are allies in this journey. I will say, you know, as Iman had mentioned, yes, we do have to come up with a strategy that prioritizes the Caribbean, but we also have allies throughout the world that are willing to contribute to that, as long as we're keeping track of the value that's flowing in so our bucket stops leaking, we build the capacity that we need.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard it from the experts in the field. Dennis Augustine from DX Alliance, Iman Chihi from CloudCarib. And this has been an exciting conversation on Let's Talk Business, brought to you by the Barbados Chamber of Commerce. I certainly enjoyed it, and I hope you do as well. So until next time, God bless, and please be safe.
That's it for another edition of Let's Talk Business with Barbados Chamber of Commerce and Industry, BCCI. Join us again next time as we hear the perspectives of various subject matter experts and stay up to date on the challenges and solutions around emerging and current trends in business, policies, trade, and more.